I'm Dr. Lauren Stryker, and this is part one, episode two. Do you have good sex? A visit with Dr. Ruth. A couple of years ago, my husband and I had the opportunity to meet the late sex therapist, Dr. Ruth Westheimer. We walked into her apartment and she greeted us with a warm hug, and then without missing a beat, asked, "Do you have good sex?" I was slightly taken aback. I mean, she was Dr. Ruth, but I'd never met her before, and I was uncharacteristically stunned into silence. But nothing fazes my husband, Jason, and he immediately said, "Yes, we do." She responded, "I'm so glad." I've always wondered what she would have said if he'd said, "No, we have terrible sex." I'm not suggesting that you should greet future visitors to your home with that question. Dr. Ruth can get away with it, but if a stranger or even a friend came up to you and asked if you have good sex, you could justifiably respond, "That's none of your goddamn business." Gynecologists have the unique position that this personal, invasive, and otherwise inappropriate question is our business, literally. Yet, it's the rare gynecologist or any other healthcare professional who asks about libido, pain with sexual activity, the ability to become aroused, or difficulty with orgasm. In other words, do you have good sex? In a 2012 study that was published in the Journal of Sexual Medicine titled "What We Don't Talk About When We Don't Talk About Sex," 1,154 OBGYNs were surveyed and asked if they talked to their patients about specific sexual issues, such as pleasure and low libido. 40% said they routinely asked about sexual activity. 28% said that they asked about problems with sex. 13% said, "Oh yeah, I ask about pleasure." And if you're thinking, well, those are probably male gynecologists, the breakdown was 53% male, 47% female. And yes, female gynecologists, particularly if they're no longer delivering babies and just practicing gynecology, were roughly three times more likely to ask about sexual activity and issues. And then there was this. Physicians who stated their religion as Roman Catholic or Evangelical Protestants were the least likely to ask about sex. Hindus, Jews, and Muslim doctors were the most likely to ask, which makes sense since those tend to be sex-positive religions. Dr. Ruth wrote an entire book called Heavenly Sex, Sexuality, and the Jewish Tradition with the overriding theme that sexuality and spirituality are intertwined, and Jewish men have an obligation to ensure that their wives experience pleasure. I'm not sure all Jewish men know that, and many might benefit from reading her book. Just saying. But overall, this is a concept that is relatively rare in our male-centric society, where men have an expectation of pleasure with sexual activity, but women generally don't. Back to that study. Overall, 72% of OBGYNs admitted that they didn't ask their patients if they have sexual problems, and 87% didn't ask anything about pleasure. But I think the numbers are actually much higher. You know, I often talk to groups with hundreds of women, and I routinely ask if the last time they went to the gynecologist, sex was addressed. So I start by asking people to raise their hands if the last time they went to the OBGYN, the doctor brought up the topic of sex in any way. And usually about 30% of hands go up. I then ask, "Were you asked about sexual problems, such as loss of libido or pain with sexual activity?" And usually about half those hands will go down. But when I ask, "Did your gynecologist specifically ask if you were able to have an orgasm?" usually only three or four hands remain in the air, and they're generally my patients. So my casual surveys fall right in line with what the studies show and are also an indication that even though the study I quoted is over 10 years old, nothing much has changed. Bottom line, it's the rare OBGYN that asks about sexual function and pleasure. Other specialties such as internal medicine, I mean, you wouldn't really expect to bring it up since anything below the belly button is pretty much a no-fly zone. But OBGYNs are the doctors who are looking directly at your vulva and inside your vagina. So you would think that a question about the use of said vulva and vagina would be routine. One major problem with this study is that the doctors said they yes, but that doesn't mean they did. I would have loved to poll the patients to see if they agreed. Even the authors of the study acknowledged that they relied on self-reporting, which was likely an overestimation. Another thing, of the doctors who did ask about sex, you know, the supposedly sex positive ones, 25% of them admitted that they often disapproved of their patients' sexual practices and didn't hesitate to tell them so. So great. They ask about sex and then shame them about whatever they're doing. Roman Catholic or Evangelical Protestant doctors made up the majority of the disapproval group. And I'd actually forgotten about that part of the study until I just went back to review it. And I was stunned. I imagine a conversation like, "Hey, doc, I'm kind of worried because lately when I use my vibrator, which is usually a sure thing, nothing happens. What do you think?" "What do I think? I think you should be playing pickleball instead of trying to have sex with a vibrator." But that fictitious conversation would never happen because I've already established that doctors don't bring up sex. And studies show that women don't bring it up either. Sometimes it's because they're embarrassed, but often it's because they assume there are no solutions to their lack of libido, pain with penetration, or inability to have an orgasm. And it's just an expected part of aging that needs to be accepted. And some women don't want to talk about sexual concerns with their doctor, who's accompanied by a 25-year-old medical student who she's pretty sure went to high school with her son. But often women don't broach the topic because they're waiting for the doctor to bring it up, which I've already established is not going to happen. When was the last time a doctor asked you if you were able to orgasm? I'll rephrase that. Has a doctor ever asked? I'm betting no. And studies show that if you're postmenopause or single or gay or non-binary or have medical issues, the likelihood is dramatically lower. Astonishing, given that difficulty having an orgasm is the second most common sexual complaint in postmenopause women. There's a reason most doctors don't ask about libido, pain with sexual activity, or trouble having an orgasm. In other words, do you have good sex? They don't ask because if you do say something along the lines of, "I'm so glad you asked, sex really hurts," or "my libido's in the toilet," or "I used to have orgasms just fine and now I can't," they will have no response other than, "I'm sorry." Or even worse, "That happens when you get older." No doctor is going to ask a question they don't have the expertise to answer. Menopause is simply not part of training for most gynecologists, and if they do get some training in menopause, I can guarantee you there is no training in postmenopause sexual function beyond the basics of treating vaginal dryness. So doctors pretty much never bring up sexual function or sexual pleasure, and when the conversation does happen, it's generally started by women who are desperate for help and end up walking out the door with essentially no information. An MD after a name is no assurance that the person to whom you're about to bear your soul and your vagina is an expert when it comes to menopause, which is why I hear every day from women that went to their doctor with their dry, giny woes and were told, "Buy a lube, hot flashes, dress in layers, tough it out." End of story. The obvious question is why most gynecologists, even really good gynecologists from great medical schools and great training programs, are not experts when it comes to sexual medicine and menopause. It's simple. 70% of OBGYN residency programs do not include menopause in their curriculum. If it is included, it may be one lecture or one article, and that lecture is usually about hot flashes, not a lack of libido. I ran one of the few academic sexual medicine and menopause centers in the country, yet the doctors in that OBGYN residency program spent no time in our clinic. It's not that they didn't want to. Many expressed an interest, but their required time in labor and delivery, surgery, oncology, fertility, and high-risk obstetrics left no time for learning about menopause, much less sexual problems post-menopause. Once someone finishes their training and starts to practice, the majority of patients in a general OBGYN practice are pregnant, wanting to get pregnant, or wanting to not get pregnant. For the typical OBGYN, the first time they see any volume of patients going through menopause is 20 years into their practice, when the moms they delivered are now trading in their birth control pills for hormone therapy pills. There are exceptions, of course. Many healthcare professionals do a terrific job of asking and answering those questions. Most of those people are my friends, and they learned it on their own after they finished their training. I didn't learn any of this stuff during my training. I learned it on my own because I was motivated to do so. So back to Dr. Ruth's question. Are any midlife women having good sex? Is good sex even possible postmenopause? From an evolutionary point of view, there's no reason, and therefore should be no motivation for women to have sex once they're no longer able to reproduce. We are put here to have babies. So biologically, it makes sense that sex is painful. It makes sense that libido is diminished, and it makes sense that a decent orgasm is out of the question when reproduction is no longer possible. From an evolutionary point of view, post-reproductive age women should be helping taking care of their grandchildren so that their mother can keep getting pregnant. But today, women in their 50s, 60s, and 70s are not taking care of their grandchildren. They're running companies, flying planes, doing surgery, and writing books. And they would like to have a decent orgasm when they are taking a break from running the world. There are a number of scientific articles published about postmenopause sexuality, and I'll get into the details of those later. But it's important to mention now that almost every single study in the medical literature that addresses postmenopause sexual activity only includes women under the age of 60, only inquires about intercourse, or sticks to a specific problem, usually vaginal dryness. In 2023, the Kinsey Institute conducted a study in conjunction with Cosmopolitan magazine that gave some interesting insights into sexuality over 60. Yes, the Kinsey Institute is in the premier academic institution that has conducted sexual research since 1947 and publishes hundreds of articles every year in academic journals. It seems surprising that the Kinsey Institute would conduct a scientific study on behalf of a women's magazine, but it actually makes sense. Cosmo is known as a publication that acknowledges that women like sex and seek out sex, but that wasn't always the case. Cosmopolitan started out as a typical women's magazine in 1886, loaded with articles on how to keep your marriage intact and your husband happy by preparing the perfect meatloaf for him to enjoy after a hard day at work. All that changed in 1965 under the leadership of Helen Gurley Brown, when Cosmo morphed from a proper women's magazine, written by men, into a much racier version. Helen Gurley Brown got rid of articles about why it was a good idea to wait until the third date before kissing a boy, and instead had stories on the best position for giving and getting oral sex. Sales exploded. When Helen Gurley Brown died at age 90, the New York Times referred to her as Helen Gurley Brown, who is the author of Sex and the Single Girl, shocked early 1960s America with the news that unmarried women not only had sex, but thoroughly enjoyed it. In the 60s and 70s, the typical Cosmo reader was a single woman in her 20s. But things have changed. Women who grew up sneaking a copy when their parents weren't around are now grandparents who have their own subscription. So it's appropriate that Cosmopolitan was interested in knowing more about the sex lives of their current readers and enlisted the help of the Kinsey Institute to design and provide the questions for a national survey of sex over 60. And as a senior research fellow of the Kinsey Institute, I was thrilled when they asked me to be part of the team to come up with the questions, which were ultimately answered by over 3,000 women. And I want to emphasize that since these women were all over 60, 100% of them were postmenopause. The results, which addressed all aspects of sexual function, will ultimately be published in a scientific publication. But here's a sneak peek of a few that I found interesting. In response to the question, have your orgasms changed? 53% said their orgasms were about the same. 26% said they were worse, but 21% said they were better. So 74% of sexually active women over 60 said their orgasms were the same or better. That's encouraging. The next question was, do you agree or disagree with the statement, intercourse is not necessary for sexual satisfaction? Well, it's hardly shocking that 60% of women over 60 do not need a penis in their vagina to have a good time. Only 15% said that intercourse was a requirement for sexual satisfaction. Dr. Ruth said it best. To know someone sexually is to know that the sexual experience is much more than just a penis inside a vagina. We then asked women to compare their orgasms when they were with their partner to orgasms they had during masturbation. During partnered sex, women had an orgasm 57% of the time. During masturbation, 77% of the time. Overall, most women who participated in this survey enjoyed sex with or without intercourse, with or without an orgasm, and with or without having a partner. Helen Gurley Brown, who died in 2012, is no doubt holding a vibrator and smiling down in approval. Now, I assume if you're listening to this, that's not the case for you, and you are struggling with your libido, pain, the ability to become aroused, and have an orgasm. The point of my running through the Cosmo statistics is to assure you that fabulous sex after 60, 70, 80 is possible. Very possible. But if your sex life is far from fabulous, you're not alone. In large surveys, more than 50% of women struggle with at least one sexual issue, and when not given solutions, abandon sexual activity altogether. The women in the Cosmo survey were sexually active, which is going to skew the numbers. It did not include women who had jumped off the sexual ship, so to speak. So although your doctor may not have solutions for your lack of libido or inability to have an orgasm, I do, and that's why I wrote Come Again. So do you have good sex? In the words of Dr. Ruth, life is too short to have bad sex.